some of the interruptions that we face in life. And we're going to be brought to a scripture this morning that's really going to help us, that's going to grow us in our faith and help us to understand that God has some great plans for us, but in life you're going to run into interruptions. Anybody know what we're talking about? So we'll be sharing a little bit about that and how that you can maintain your faith in God. Our scripture this morning is actually taken from Matthew chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse number 18. While he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Skipping down to verse 23, you've already noticed that we skipped over something. You've already noticed that, but we're going to come back to it. Verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels, musicians, and all of the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to talk about overcoming life's interruptions. Overcoming life's interruptions. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege now of sharing your word. Help me to bring out what you've put in me so that the people might be fed and nourished on your word, that we can grow thereby. And Lord, that we can move forward in our faith. We thank you for all these blessings and we ask that you'd be with us now. In our time together, let it be time well spent. In Jesus' name, amen. Overcoming life's interruptions. Yesterday, we had the awesome privilege of visiting and participating in the National Museum of African American History. And I thought about something, how critical their faith was. How critical their faith was. They had to face many, they being our forefathers and our people, they had to face many obstacles, but their faith was critical. They had a whole lot of interruptions, but those interruptions did not shape them. They had something else shaping them, their faith in God. I was very pleased that our young people had an opportunity to take advantage of that. And I commend anyone, it doesn't matter what race you're of, you need to see it. Because you can come out of there saying, we've come this far by faith. And so I want to thank the committee while I'm on that. I want to thank them for this. Let me share with you now that life is going to have some interruptions. Get used to it. If you have not already. Now, when interruptions or these things come in life, you are being challenged. You're being challenged. The problem says, stop here. Amen. Faith says, keep going. Amen. Our emotion says, I don't feel like it. Amen. God says, I'm with you. Amen. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Here was Jairus, as we will learn from the book of Luke. That was his name. He was a ruler. Now, as a ruler, he's putting his life at risk, his future, his reputation, because being a ruler of the Jews, you don't associate with Jesus like talking about. So he's putting his reputation on the line, coming and talking to Jesus, and please look at and listen to what he says and hear him in his voice how he's saying to Jesus, My daughter is even now dead. Now be careful with those words because what we would assume is that she's already died. And Luke and Mark will tell us they came later and told him, but in his mind, he knew that the condition was so bad that only God could raise her up. Now, don't get hung up over this and don't start looking at it as if to say, well, there's a problem with the scripture. The scriptures agree. Scriptures agree. But that's not the point I'm going at. The point that he is after here, he is depending on Jesus to fix a situation that is out of his hands. All right. Remember, he's a ruler. And what do rulers do? They take charge. They go out and they solve problems. They say, you know, whatever I need, I'm going to get it done because I'm a ruler. I can command certain things to be done, and they're done. But this problem that he had could not be solved with human hands. So he came to Jesus, and he says to him, I'm putting my faith in you to help me. So Jesus, get this now, you got to look at what the scripture says, verse 19, and Jesus did what? He arose and followed him. So here's this man. He's just going on to his house. Man, we're going to get this problem fixed, and everything's going to be all right. My daughter's going to be okay. Everything is fine. All of a sudden, an interruption. Do you get it? So he's on his way to the ruler's house. What happens? A woman comes up in the crowd, grabs hold of his robe, gets a miracle. All of a sudden, Jesus, who was following this ruler, has now stopped. Now, what if you were next in line for a blessing? What if you were the one that's standing there and say, okay, man, I'm next, you know. God has blessed all these other people. I'm next. Then all of a sudden, somebody walks in and steps in front of the line in front of you. You'd be feeling some kind of way, right? You'd be saying to yourself, wait a minute, girl. You don't just sneak up on Jesus and steal a blessing that was for me. Had my name on it. And here you are taking time from Jesus. And he's supposed to be coming to my house. Remember, this is a ruler. And if you ever worked for a boss that knew he was the boss, made you understand that he was the boss, you don't do it when you get ready. You do it when he tells you. It's interesting how the scripture says Jesus arose and followed, and his disciples were also there. So they're observing this. Please understand that when God works in your life and when God works in my life, it's not just about you. Amen. Lord have mercy. I done preached this sermon now. I've said what I needed to say. Sometimes we think we're the only one that need God to help us, and there are multitudes of people also crying out to him, Lord, help me, help me. So this woman snuck in. She got in line in front of him. She cut through traffic and got her blessing, wanted to sneak away. And yet Jesus had to stop her because it's not about going and grabbing somebody's robe. It's about trusting in Jesus, knowing that he can do it. Nowhere in the scripture does it tell you put your confidence in his robe. It tells you put your confidence in him. It just so happened that that was the means by which he used her faith to get the blessing, but the blessing had to come through him because he didn't say power left my robe. He said virtue has left me. And I knew when she was coming up. I saw when she was coming. I had her in the rearview mirror. I could see her. So this interruption. This interruption. Some of you today have had your interruptions and you felt just like, you know what? I don't even feel like going forward. But did you not know that God has your future? He has everything planned for you. And I think we need to really look at some definitions here because we can talk about interruptions. And I'm not talking about things that happen. There are certain pains you can live with, right? Certain stuff you get used to. Certain issues you just learn to deal with and you just keep moving, all right? Because you know in your own mind, I can't fix this. And since I'm not dead, I ain't dying over it. Anybody know what I'm... Okay, so what is an interruption? An interruption is when something is stopped. It's a stoppage or disruption or disturbance that seeks to block your blessing. That's right. Now, we've all had them happen, right?
Yes.
We've all had those situations that have occurred in our life. Oh, looks like something is going to block my blessing. But guess what? If the blessing is for you and God sent it for you, it's got to block God. See, because it didn't come from you. It came from God. It looks like it ain't going to get to you. I wish I had a glove up here. You know, when a guy in center field, he's trying to zero in. He's trying to get to where he needs. All he has to do is get to the place the ball's going to drop.
Right.
did you see it? It's going to come. It's going to come. The interruption has really come to challenge your faith and to really dare you and to dare me from trusting God. All right, you see what I'm saying? Right. Now, I know I'm not going to get finished with the sermon, David. I'm going to have to pick it up next Sunday. But do you see what happens? God never told you that your life would be easy. All right? One of the things I learned on yesterday, people who got tested the most did the most. They were punched, they were kicked, they were pushed. And guess what? They just kept going. This generation looks like when we run into an interruption, oh, I might as well stop. Uh-oh. Your God is too big. Your faith is too strong. Your prayers have been prayed for too long for you to give up now. You hold your head up, even if you got tears streaming down your face, you say, God did not bring me this far to leave me now. It is just an interruption. It is just an interruption. It is just something that is here. It seeks to block my blessing, but it's not going to do it because I know that God who is with me, he's more than the world against me. Are you getting something from this? All right, now look at what happens. First of all, if you're gonna recognize or if you have an interruption, there are four things you need to do. I'm gonna run through these pretty quickly because I think we need, and we'll go back over them as we introduce the other scriptures. Recognize the interruption for what it is. So guess what? When Jesus stopped, Jairus had no other alternative but just stop, right? You know what we do? You know what we do? Here's me. Okay. All right. If I see God is not moving, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something like the buzzards that were sitting up on a tree limb. They said, I'm tired of waiting for something to die. I'm going to go and kill something. We get ourselves into the biggest problem and the biggest trouble in life trying to start God. Now, what I notice about Jairus, what he didn't do, he didn't start complaining and grumbling. Nowhere in either of those passages does it say he got frustrated. But let me tell you what some of us will do. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm just upset. How many of y'all know that the old people had a saying, you can't hurry God. Amen. You got to wait. Trust and give him time. Huh? He'll be there and it won't be late. I guess that's how the words go. But you get the point. You cannot make God move. You cannot force God to move. All right? But the fact is, because of his love for you, he has already moved. All you got to do is just keep walking. We did something in the military. Rufus, you'd like this. A lot of times when they would have a formation, there were certain soldiers that were not to start off marching at the same time. All right? They would call that step in place. All right? So when he tell the others to move, you would step in place because it ain't your time to go anywhere. Now, what I can imagine what was happening with Jairus is the fact that it was not time for him to move because Jesus had not given the order to move forward. So he just, you know what? I come this far. I'm trusting in him. I know he'll make a way out out of no way. Thank God, my blessing. I'm getting closer. Even if I'm not going anywhere, I know that God is with me. See, if you stay in his presence through prayer and worship, because that's what he did. He worshiped him. When he came to Jesus, he didn't just come with his little receipt and his request for blessing. He said, I want to worship you. I want to recognize you. So when he was on pause, when life was on hold, he just lifted up his hands and said, thank you, Jesus. While I'm in this interruption, I'm just going to take a praise break. I'm just going to give you all the glory, all the honor. Right in the midst of my stoppage, I am going to trust God. Recognize the interruption for what it is. It's just a temporary delay. It is not a denial from God. It is not to say that God can't do and God won't do. Because if he's given you faith that he will do, trust him. And by the way, when God moves something out of your life, he always brings in something that is better. So you wait. Oh, my God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Anybody see what I'm saying? All right, so here's the first thing. Recognize that you have an interruption. Don't throw up both your hands. Life is too hard. I can't make it like this. Trust God. Trust him. Know that he is God. It's he that made you. See, a lot of people are trying to make their faith. You don't make your faith. Your faith makes you. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is something that God gives you as a gift breathed into you by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will whisper to you, now hold on now. Don't mess up now. Don't start talking against your blessing now. That's the Holy Spirit in you telling you God's got it. Y'all, I'm going to give myself a hand clap. Praise God. Because this is what we do a lot of times. We get stuck up on the interruptions. We start saying to ourselves, man, I can't do this. You can. But if you're with Jesus, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the next faith step is remove all barriers. Remove all barriers. Did you not know this man had to take off his rulership position? How many of y'all heard this saying, God may not come when you want him to? That's a real statement right there. Am I right? And I want to go further. God ain't going to come when you want him to. Look, come on, Jesus, I need you right now, right now. No. He doesn't wear a Rolex or Bulova or any of these other watches. He comes when he gets ready. He moves as he pleases. And so what Jairus had to do was to remove all barriers, including himself. I'll get to a couple of other barriers because when they got to the house, now, problem number one was getting past this woman, okay? She had to get her healing, her blessing. All right, we're moving again. We're walking again. We're making progress again. And all of a sudden, when they get to the house, guess who they ran into? Negativity. It ain't gonna happen. You had the band playing. You had the mourners there. By the way, in the Jewish culture, what they would do is they have paid mourners who would come over and cry. They didn't, you know, they were paid criers. In other words, they put on a show. They put on a show. And so they were putting on the show. And the verse says, Jesus had them removed. Why? If you don't get the negativity out of your life, you will never get past the problem that you're facing. If you don't get the dead thoughts out of your mind that are unproductive, why does everything have to be bad on my part? Why? Look at everybody else getting the blessing and look at what's wrong with me. Why can't I quit that negative talk? Quit beating yourself down. Life is bad enough. It'll beat you up, you know, but instead of life doing it for you, life just gets the popcorn. Demons go and they get a bag of popcorn. We're just going to watch. They're destroying themselves, you know. They're talking against themselves. It's just like the problems in our nation. Everybody's talking about what's bad, and the other nations, the terrorists, they don't have to worry about coming to this nation because we're going to destroy ourselves. Negativity. Every time you turn around, people are talking bad about this, bad about that. You know what? I'm just so glad I'm alive. Anybody glad to be alive? You don't want negative people around you. You don't want them appealing to your emotions. What you want is people that will come in and speak to your faith. They will start telling you, don't worry about what you're going through right now, because God's got a plan for your life, and the thing that God is doing right now is preparing you for something greater. That's the kind of folk you need. You don't need somebody coming by your bedside. Well, I just came to see you. I heard you had it real bad. Yeah, you got it real bad. No, get out. Get. Talking that kind of stuff around me. I got it bad enough. Remind me of Reverend H.L. Brooks. He said one of his preacher friends came to visit him, and Dr. Brooks was in bed. He was hurting. He said, "Great God Almighty," he said, I know I'm ugly because I'm sick, but what's wrong with you? Why? You got to get the negativity from yeah, that's right. Okay. How do you remove barriers? You start saying what God says about you. You start believing that God cares about you. You start trusting and knowing that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And once you start doing that, you can watch the barriers just go. Watch the things just go out of your life. And you're going to say, Lord, no matter what, I know I'm going to trust you. I really don't have any other plan for my life other than to follow you. Take off the rulership hat. Take off the, some of y'all got control issues. I like to be in control. I like to know this and I like to know that. Yeah. And when life don't work out that way, oh my God, what's happening? God's showing you ain't in control. All right? So remove all barriers. Then the third thing, replan around the interruptions. If you know that the road is out, don't try to go down there. That's a Captain Obvious statement, you know. And Joseph kind of looked like me like, what's that mean? There are a lot of folk that they'll see the sign that says, detour, road closed. You know what some folks will do? Well, let me go down there and see what's going on. There are other ways. There are other things. Which this sends a message that if God doesn't move this way, and you keep looking for him because that's what you depended on, let God, there's another old saying, let God have his way. All right? When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, now y'all with me? All right, now I want to make sure we get it right. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he had other thoughts because it said he prayed, Father, if it be thy will that this cup pass from me. All right. He had other thoughts about this thing because in that would mean his separation from his father. Do you see what I'm saying? He wasn't worried about dying for our sin. The issue was, I'm going to be separated from my father. And if there's any other way that we can go through this. But then he said, nevertheless, Lord, have mercy. Nevertheless, God's plan is always going to be better than yours. His plan will always exceed your plan. His ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways around your ways. How do you replan around the interruption? Start asking God, Lord, show me the way I'm not seeing here. God will have you walking on water. Come on, somebody. God will have you going through the desert and knowing that I can make it. Because whenever you have God with you, he provides the protection for you to walk his way. Amen? How in the world do you think the Israelites made it through the desert for 40 years? God had to be with them. They didn't even have a grocery store around. And you know nothing grows in a desert, right? But when you got God going through your desert ain't no problem. I'm on my way to the promised land. So plan around the interruption. We'll get back to these in just a second. Then last thing, renew your commitment to God. Renew your commitment to God. Somewhere along the way, they did bring Jairus' word back and say, okay, give up on it now. Give up on it now. Your daughter's gone. All right? He still didn't give up. Jesus said, have faith only. Have faith only. Say that with me. Have faith only, which means exclude everything else. And just trust God. Just know that he has your back. Amen. Psalm 100 and verse 3. For it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Do you not know that a good shepherd never leaves his sheep? And when that sheep gets to the place where it cannot care for itself, the shepherd will take it up on his shoulder and will carry that sheep. That's what God does for you. That's what he does for me. And the Bible goes on to show how that when Jesus came in, having put everyone else out, just him and the family and that little girl, he took her by the hand and he raised her up. And the fame thereof spread throughout the land. But I didn't want to tell you just about that miracle. I wanted to talk about the interruption. As a matter of fact, life has got an interruption that's bigger than people in your way. I know you could wish you could get rid of some of the folk. Lord, if I could just get rid of some of my coworkers. Yeah, they're interruptions and they're bad. They're tough, but that's not the biggest one. You know what the biggest one is? S-I-N. Sin. Sin is the greatest issue that you and I will ever confront in life. The definition may be doing something that is not of God. Let me give you the short answer. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever does not come from your faith in God is sin. Regardless of where it leads and regardless of what you think it does for you, whatever is not based on your faith in God is sin. And yet, these same principles, these same steps of overcoming that will give you power over sin. What's that, preacher? Well, 1 John 1:9, it says it all. If I confess my sin. Now, how many of you, every day when you get on your knees or when you're praying, you say, God, forgive me of my sin today. I know things I should not have done, I did or said. And then you start praying, Lord, I may have done some things. Or I may not have done what I needed to do. Forgive me of that sin. How many of y'all pray that each day? Yeah, you got to pray that every day. People say, well, Christ forgave me a long time ago. I know that, but you need a bath every day. Amen. I took a bath last week. Amen. You know, and I put on some cologne, deodorant. But guess what? This week I was stinky. Amen. So you need God to constantly cleanse you. Notice what the verse says. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Among all the things that I need God to do, I need him to pardon my sin. So how does that work, preacher? Faith steps. First, recognize the sin. Second, remove all excuses. Well, it's just a little one. That little one gonna nail you. Because guess what that little one doing? It's holding up signs. Help wanted. Next thing you know, you got seven other sins coming to join it. Amen. How many of y'all notice that? Well, I'm gonna let this one slide by. That joke ain't sliding by. He's creeping in. Amen. All right, so we've got to remove all excuses. Thirdly, replan without the sin. Replan your life without that problem, without that habit. Replan your life without it. Because when you've got God in your life, you don't need that stuff, right? You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can say bye-bye to all of that. And then lastly, renew your commitment to God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, overcoming life's interruptions. What I want you to do before we close the day is write down a couple of things that have interrupted you. Don't tell anybody. Don't let them leave you. Hide. Like when you do on your test, you see Johnny over in the corner trying to cheat on you and you know, get stuff. And if Johnny had a copy, he would have got the wrong answer too. You know, you don't need to tell anybody else about your interruptions. I know what mine are. I know what mine are. And when you start saying to God, these are the things that have interrupted me, and I need you to help me move past this, you better believe that beginning this day, God is going to move you forward because he doesn't want anything blocking your faith. Do you believe that? Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Now let's pray. Father, I thank you for just blessing us to hear this message today. You have challenged us. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, we need to recognize you, not just a problem, but to recognize you. Then we've got to remove all excuses and then replan our life with you in it, with your plan working for us, and then commit to you, because that's what it's all about, God, trusting you. So everything that has hindered us, every barrier that has got in our way, Lord, rather than you following us the way that Jairus got in front, we want to follow you. We want you to govern every footstep and show us the things that we need to do. God, we'll forever praise you and magnify you. For it's in the awesome name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen. Amen. Perhaps you've never committed your life to Jesus. Let me give you the awesome opportunity to meet the greatest person in the world. Yes, he's God, but he's also a friend of sinners. And if you want to meet him today, or if you feel the need of joining with us here at Crossroads, I want to give you that opportunity now. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone to stand.